This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
.888-808-1019 is your number to call. Big Football Friday. Well, last one of the NFL regular season for the Jets and the Giants. Jets up in Buffalo taking on the Buffalo Bills. Final game at Highmark Stadium. We'll see if Josh Allen is able to give it a go a little bit. He's missed practice the last 2 days for the Buffalo Bills, dealing with that foot sprain, right foot. As far as the Giants go, they close out the regular season, close out their year Sunday at home against Dak and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see how long Dak does play. Obviously, that number one overall pick still in play. And we'll get the final determination after all the speculation and reports in terms of the general manager, Joe Shane, his future with Big Blue going into the final year of his contract, and who the next head coach of the Giants are going to be over the course of the due time. Richard, Tom's River, kicking off the noon hour. What's going on, Richard?
Not much. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Richard.
Yeah. The college football playoff, I'm not really a college football fan. How does that work as far as seeding goes?
What do you mean? They have a committee that ranks them, right? They had the determination of who, yeah, correct.
Okay. Now, as far as like James Madison, how did James Madison get involved in the mix?
Well, based on the regular season. So there's slots that are open outside of the Power Four conferences.
Okay. Thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, you got it, Richard. Appreciate it. Johnny in Valley Stream is up next to the fan. What's going on, Johnny?
Well, Moose, I'm glad you can answer that gentleman's question.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I'm like Google. All you have to do is, like, you know, just pepper me with questions. By the way.
do you mind if I give you my quick plan for the Jets?
Yeah, let's hear it. No doubt.
Can we go? We have 4 picks in the top 50. Can we go defensive heavy? Maybe get a Caleb Downs or one of these like stud linebackers, and finally find like an identity. How are you going to draft a rookie quarterback with no defense? There's not a single person on that defense that can like that team's even game plan for. We have no studs, no franchise players on the defensive end.
You don't like Jermaine Johnson?
I mean, is that it? That's all we have. We have to establish an identity. We have no identity. There's no defensive. There's nobody that we look to on the defensive end that's good.
Well, Johnny, the Jets have painted themselves in a corner here where they can go a lot of different ways, and they let the board lead the way. Maybe not necessarily offensive line, because they've invested heavily in the offensive line as of late, but maybe not O line. But when you're looking at defense, you've got to find your quarterback. You probably, you know, I think you look at Mechie and could you use a true number two guy? Mechie's more of a slot guy than anything else. You know, Hall going over 1,000 yards, great, fantastic. We know what he can be. And I thought he showed a little bit more toughness in his running style this year than he did a year ago. But he seems to get better and gets better used as the season goes along as compared to early part of the year. I don't disagree with you about their defense. The identity got rid of those guys. I mean, Sauce Gardner was traded to Indianapolis and Quinton Williams was traded to Dallas.
No, I get that. And I just think you have an opportunity here to draft a new core, a new angry defensive core, and then worry about the quarterback next year. Don't mortgage all the picks this year just to get Mendoza and then have nobody on defense and still not have a defense. Aaron
Johnny,
Brown is a defensive coach. Let's get him a defense. Let's get him some young players, and let's see if he can like bring back the Jets, bring back a mean defensive Rex Ryan kind of team.
Johnny, but can I just ask you a question? When we looked, Saleh was a defensive coach. Right?
Yeah.
And he had his handprint on the defense when Ulbrich was the Jets defensive coordinator. Look at the regression of that Jet defense Now, they did Ulbrich no favors. They named him the interim head coach and didn't give him, he was still calling defensive plays, Johnny. Look at the regression of that defense when Sala was out of the building. And Robert Sala is a really good defensive coordinator, not a particularly good head coach. You know, we talk about Aaron Glenn being a great defensive coach. Look at where this team is now. You might say, well, they're untalented, and this is a group. Well, that's the decision that they went down, right? And then you have Aaron Glenn going out there emphasizing the special teams and, no field goals blocked and, what their elite special teams unit, all of that nonsense that you get after you were historically bad in the month of December. Like, Aaron Glenn is pleading for the finish line. Like, he's tired probably of meeting with the media, tired of stepping into, the landmines and doing himself no favors. And he's been his own worst enemy. And we kind of joked around, had fun with it at his expense over the course of the week. It's been embarrassingly bad. And then Jeff Van say, well, you know what? They're tanking. They're clearly tanking. So why are you so upset? Just to, appreciate it or understand what they're trying to do then. But then I have the head coach going out there questioning the team's effort. If it's an organizational mantra that they're tanking, then regardless of the team's effort, you wouldn't go out there and question it. But then there was Aaron Glenn going out there telling you on Sunday after they lose 42-10, down 42-3 to the New England Patriots, saying the first time all season long, I questioned this team's effort. Really? I mean, that's where he can't get out of his own way. But my point being with Glenn is he's had no impact on the defense. Zero. And he's even, as some guys and some men and women that cover the team, he's even kind of tried to distance himself from being a, a defensive-minded coach. And I get he wants to be the head coach of the team. My question is, what's the vision of this team? I wouldn't go into the NFL draft saying, well, I've got to draft this position or I got to draft this side of the ball. And here's what I say. If you can get your hands on a quarterback that you believe as an organization without a doubt, is a franchise quarterback, you move heaven and earth to go get him. Because that changes your entire organization. It does more than Caleb Downs at safety, or an elite level corner, or an edge rusher. The quarterback changes everything. Just look at, just go out there, hop online, read some of the articles that are being written out in Cincinnati, and their defense stinks. But Burrow changes everything for the Bengals. Everything. Not some things. He changes everything. And if you're able to get your hands on, I'm not telling you that Mendoza is going to be Joe Burrow, but when Burrow's healthy, he's the top five quarterback in the National Football League. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Changes it all. That's why you look at it, and if Dark can all of a sudden become that level, that caliber of quarterback for the New York Giants, obviously their fortunes are going to distinctly change. But with what he is as a prospect, with what you've seen from him so far, it makes the Giants' job that much more attractive because you're not stepping into the abyss of a team that doesn't have a quarterback. That's why the Giants are set up for a massive step forward in 2026 if you're comparing to the two locals as compared to the New York Jets. Robert in Queens is up next on the Fan. What's going on, Robert?
The Moose, how are you? Moose, you're a great listen on Sunday. You're a great listen. I don't know why Hurley don't have you there all the time. I could listen to you day or night. You're a fan. You bring passion. Keep it up. I follow you on picks. It's great to hear you. But I don't understand the Giants. And I don't want anybody losing their job. But listen to me. They're setting themselves up for a disaster. Because if they hire the new coach and Shane's part of hiring the new coach and it doesn't work out because the people that he drafted were no good and the coach is there and they have to fire Shane and then the guy who comes in didn't hire this coach, you said it to lead off the show. Why is it that you know it? And believe me, if anybody listens to you on Sunday, you know as much about football as any of these GMs, as any of these owners. You live it. You're a fan. I get rid of Shane now. It was a nice try. And let's start over. Come on, Giant football.
Robert, but there's another argument to be made that, and if you want to just, as we discussed with Art Stapleton kicking off the 11 o'clock hour, as I kicked off the program this morning talking about it, right? And it's been too much of the conversation too regularly when you're talking about the New York Giants. And but hopefully that changes in this new year. But there's another argument to be made is that if you stay the course, that the head coach does change everything. You've got the quarterback in place. There are other young pieces on this team. You need a coach, a head coach, and a staff to bring it all together. And if you hire the right guy, Moose.
But Moose, this is what I apologize for interrupting. But Moose, this is what I'm saying. They have the pieces in place. So very good, Mr. Shane. Thank you very much. We gave you 4 years. We're not where we want to be. Get a new team in there. Let the new team do it. It's going to be the same pieces that are there are there. Let the new team do it.
I understand, Robert, but then there's no connectivity between the quarterback and those that have invested. You've already gotten rid of the head coach that was, you know, for all intents and purposes, a huge driving force to drafting the quarterback in Brian Daboll. And even Dart couldn't save Daboll's job in the end. But then you're back to where you were before. You're bringing in a GM. You're hiring the GM first. The GM then would be part of the coaching search and putting together a list. Then you're having changes within your scouting department, pro personnel department, all the things that come along with that. And then there's no connection between the GM and the head coach and the quarterback that you have going into year two. That's all. Or you say, I'm going to give, even though it might not be a popular opinion publicly, I'm going to give the GM a little bit more time here. I'm going to bring in a different head coach. I think the head coach is going to change the culture, bring about winning if I hire the right guy. Now, as I've said before, I can't remember, not McAdoo, not really necessarily Shurmur. I can't remember. I mean, this is as big of a hire as we've had for the Giants in quite some time. I mean, that is the pressure that is on the Giant organization right now to get this hire correct. And you wonder if the failures of coordinators in the past lead them to believe or would lead them to ultimately lean into someone that gets the job. And there's no, right now, as we it leans them to go with someone that's had experience before. And right now, when you look at the potential options in terms of former head coaches that are out there, the list outside of McCarthy, and even McCarthy's not a perfect candidate. Mike Vrabel's not sitting out there. And we'll see. We'll see exactly who shakes free. Maybe it's Tomlin. Maybe it's Harbaugh. Maybe, as Art brought up, it's Kevin Stefanski with the Cleveland Browns. Let's head out to Justin in Dobbs Ferry's up next to the fan. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on? It's funny to think that the Giants maybe thought about bringing in Lane Kiffin, watching that game yesterday and seeing Joe Judge on the sideline. I was like, got me dizzy just thinking about those years of running QB sneaks on like 3rd and 9.
Yeah, Jake Fromm was the quarterback. Yes, Jake Fromm.
Yeah, but it's just like, I didn't realize that guy was still coaching. Now he's a quarterback coach, and that's insane.
I thought he was the special teams coach. No, he's the special teams coach at Ole Miss.
Oh, I thought it said, like, I maybe got promoted with Kiffin gone. Maybe he's like, I thought it said, like, next
summer.
No, like,
a lot of those assistants for Lane Kiffin that took jobs at LSU, Charlie Weiss Jr., who's running the offense still for Ole Miss, they're taking jobs at LSU. They're pulling double duty. So there's been stories written about, how they're going to handle it now that they've advanced to the semifinals in the college football playoff. I got to look. I thought Judge was running the special teams. That's why maybe I'm wrong. But I thought that's what he was doing. Maybe he has a hand in the offense as well. But, I know he was on Kiffin's staff down there in Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, it was just crazy seeing him again in the whole Giant debacle here, trying to get a new coach in here and figure out what's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I'm looking up Judge right now for Ole Miss. Assistant coach quarterbacks. You're right. I was wrong. I thought he was running special teams. He's running the quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, but they've done a remarkable job. I mean, that is as big of a win that Ole Miss has had in quite some time in program history. Yeah, I mean, we're back to where we are with the Giants in search for the new head coach, but there is an excitement. There is a light at the end of the tunnel when you're looking at the quarterback. I mean, that gives you a big chip in the old game when you're looking at Dart. So this is not an off season where we're debating about the caliber of player that Daniel Jones is. You've got your quarterback in place. Now it's a matter of going out there, finding the right head coach. Let's head out to Staten Island. It's Larry. It's the fan. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, Moose. How are you? I like Jackson Dart, but, the way he's running a lot, he's going to be in like another 2-0 with the concussions. Here's what I would do. I would, if the Giants, if they did, it's a big if they get the first pick, I would pick Mendoza. Pocket quarterback, he can scramble a little bit. You say you don't have the athleticism, but, hey, Tom Brady didn't either. So anyway, hit me out on this. If they get Mendoza, trade Jackson Dart, to a team that needs a QB. This will probably go ahead of Moore or even the kid from last night. They can get probably two picks.
Chambliss.
And maybe get somebody on the defense.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Chambliss, who's draft eligible. Larry, why create a problem when you don't need to?
Because I don't think Jackson Dart's going to last. I really don't. He's going to keep running. Unless you get the right coach to say, listen, like John Gruden be perfect. Do not run because you take the wrong hit. You're going to be like Tua. Tua was probably the most accurate quarterback in the league in the last 6-7 years. And those concussions really screwed him up. You see every time he fades back to throw, he's always worrying about getting hit. I mean, you know, it's not an easy game. You know, those guys.
But it's not, but the Tua story is not as simple as the concussions, Larry. You know that, right?
Yeah, but still, you know.
What has led to the dip in Tua being able to throw the deep ball? He can't drive the football anymore. Why can't he drive the football anymore? Because of the ankle and the hip injury that he suffered at Alabama.
That's part of it. But also, he's always looking over his shoulder.
Why do you think NFL teams look at quarterbacks, and Boomer's talked about this on the morning show, right? Why do you think teams go out there and look at a quarterback's base? Why do they look at that, you know, whether they have a big rear end, so to speak, and they have big thighs and everything like that? Because half the power, similar in nature when you're looking at Major League Baseball, right? Tom Seaver, drop and drive.
Right.
When you're looking at it. You can look at arm action, you can look at and all of that, but you're getting your power from your base.
Of course. I play golf. I know what it's about.
I mean, Nick Faldo used the ground to get length, right? He's going out there talking about those shoes.
John Daly? John Daly ripped them off. Yep.
So, Larry, I don't think, to get back to the point that you're making, let me put it simple. Because we get into it, and I understand that the grass might be greener. You might be questioning whether or not Dart can hold up. Like, I don't know, as much as I love the Indiana story in Cignetti, as much as I love watching, you know, what they did yesterday in, you know, to the Rose Bowl, as much as you watch, like, you know, a buddy of mine, James's daughter goes to Indiana. I mean, they, you know, that entire campus is alive because of Indiana football, right? And they, that is a program that he has done a remarkable job at. It's a great story. As much as you love Mendoza and the throws that he makes and the arm talent that he shows, I don't know what he's going to be in the NFL. And what we have learned here in the National Football League is there is really no certainties. I mean, maybe a few, you know, Elway. I mean, Marino dropped like a stone in the draft. That was more off the field than on the field when coming out of Pitt. You know, Luck was Peyton. But even then, there was great debate between Peyton and Ryan Leaf coming out of Washington State. And who was going to be the better NFL quarterback? Because people questioned the arm strength of Peyton Manning coming out of Tennessee. But then we saw what he was as a regular season quarterback, and he changed the position. Like, I don't know. Like, I know what I have in Dart. Does there need to be a little bit of an adjustment for him in terms of the style and fashion which he plays? Yes. I'm not talking to take away the aggressiveness. I'm just saying don't take the unnecessary hits when you don't need to. That's all. Live to fight another day. That extra yard or two ain't worth it. Ain't worth it. Unless it's deciding a championship game, unless it's deciding the Super Bowl, then you lay your body on the line. When you're talking about a regular season game, it's not worth it. But I know he can play the position. And from what I've seen so far, I think he can play the position at a really high level. Does he need to be coached up a little bit? Does he need to continue to be developed? Yeah, but that's going to be the impetus of the new coaching staff that steps in place. And so wherever you go for your next head coach, the game plan, besides developing the identity, what it is going to be, you know, what you're going to be defensively, offensively, how are all three phases going to work together, is going to be what's the game plan for getting the best out of Jackson Dart. We'll turn our attention to the Jets. Al Ianazone covers the Jets for Newsday. They're up in Buffalo this week to take on the Buffalo Bills with or without Josh Allen. And obviously, a lot of the speculation about Aaron Glenn. We'll get the thoughts of Al Ianazone. He'll join us next. It's a Friday midday. Mark Melusis with you right here, The Fan in New York. Al Ianazone covers...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Covers the Jets for Newsday. It's been a long year, no doubt, Al. Good to talk to you. Happy New Year to you and your family. Appreciate the time this afternoon, Al.
Happy New Year, Mark. Great to talk to you.
Al, what do you, like with Glenn here, you know, and all the reports are he's going to get a second year. What leads you to believe that it's going to look different year number two?
Well, you would hope they'd have better players, right? I understand the clamoring for him to not return. It has been a terrible year, but I think this is by design at a certain point. I mean, you get rid of Sauce Gardner, you get rid of Quinn and Williams. You're starting an undrafted rookie quarterback who really has not shown much. He's got one touchdown and eight interceptions. You know, I feel bad for Brady Cook that he's in this position where he doesn't even have the Jets' best skill players out there. No Garrett Wilson, Mason Taylor not playing. I mean, he still has Breece Hall. There's just a lot of issues with this team that it's not going to be fixed overnight. You know, they have to get the draft right. They have to get the quarterback right. And that might not be enough. We don't know that Aaron Glenn is the right coach for this team. He hasn't proven himself. It hasn't been good from the beginning. But I find it hard to foresee, you know, Woody giving up on him so quickly after this was basically his hire and everything they went through last year with the 33rd team and how many people they interviewed and brought in. I don't see him saying, okay, I was wrong, and I'm going to pay this guy the rest of his contract and then pay somebody else.
Al, if I ask you, you know, or if Glenn did a little self-evaluation in the offseason, where do you think he needs to improve? He's coming back, right? So Woody doesn't want to admit the failure. Where do you think Glenn needs to improve?
I think a lot of areas. I think, you know, first of all, his coaching staff, he has to improve that. But from him, I think he needs to show a little humility. I mean, there was a lot of arrogance when he got here, which every coach is going to be like that. They're going to be, you know, bravado and all this other stuff. And, you know, we could change Justin Fields and make him a better quarterback. They failed miserably in that respect. And that's, you know, not just Glenn, that's the entire offensive staff. So that's why I think you got to look at the staff first and foremost on both sides of the ball. No interceptions is ridiculous. And that is also an indictment of Glenn because he's a defensive coach. He's a former cornerback. I think he's got to see that he doesn't have all the answers. You know, I know all these guys, like I said, they come in and they say, look what I went through in Detroit. Look what I went through in New Orleans. We turned those teams around. Here was the biggest thing. Both of those teams had quarterbacks. It really starts there. But there was no excuse for the way the defense played this year. I mean, that was, to me, the biggest disappointment and indictment of Glenn as a coach because this defense has been terrible, and they did return eight or nine starters from Robert Saleh's team. So they should have been much better.
Yeah, and that's the other issue. They've turned this into a rebuild. I get it, with Muji and Glenn. And, you know, give themselves a little bit more time. They've got to figure out the quarterback room, which was a disaster this year. But it's not like he took, and I get the Lions comparison, but to an extent, but it's not like he took over a roster that was barren of talent.
No, and that's why I think most of us thought they would be better this season. I know Vegas had them with 4.5 or 5.5 wins. I did take the over. I thought they would win a few more games earlier in the year. But, you know, you get off to an 0-7 start, and they were doomed to fail from the beginning because of the whole Justin Fields experiment. I thought he would be better. I think everybody thought he would be better. I mean, again, I look at what this franchise has done over the last 15 years of losing, but particularly over the last 6 years, five times they've had their quarterback, their starting quarterback, not throw at least 10 touchdown passes. That is crazy in today's NFL. When you see guys putting up 35, 40 touchdown passes, 45 touchdown passes, Justin Fields is going to lead the Jets with 7. You know, a couple of years ago, it was Zach Wilson leading the Jets with 6. Like, this is constantly an issue that they don't have good quarterback play. But, yeah, they had better talent than we saw. The defense, again, I go back to that. They're letting up 30 points a game. Lately, it's more than that. It's just been terrible. And the fact that they have no picks, they're the first team with no picks in a season, that's unbelievable.
We're talking to Al Ayanna's own covers of the Jets for Newsday. Jets close out the season late game, 4:25 kick up in Buffalo against the Bills on Sunday. Obviously, sitting here, season long over. They're 3-13 on the year. Al, you're around this team on a day-in, day-out basis. Does Glenn still have the ear of these guys?
Yeah, I think so, because a lot of these guys are not going to be back. You know, you got to remember, he's got to start putting his fingerprints on the team, him and Muji. And I think you saw a little as the year went on. I mean, they're going to point to guys like Juwan Briggs, who they brought in, and he had a good season. Isaiah Williams, who, you know, again, another indictment. He's been a great player for them this season. They cut him, and then he comes back, and as a returner, he does all this wonderful things. He was the team MVP. When do you see a returner as a team MVP? So I think there are a lot of guys who are coming back who, you know, respect him and everything like that, but I think he's got to bring in some of his own guys. Like, there weren't a lot of guys, you know, Sala, when he got here, he brought some former 49er guys on both sides of the ball. You know, there weren't a lot of former Lions here, which was kind of surprising. I think he's got to bring some of his guys if he really wants to build the culture the way he wants it. You know, a name I keep bringing up is Alex Anzalone, Lions linebacker. I don't think Quincy Williams is going to be back. That's someone I could see the Jets going after. He was with Glenn in New Orleans, and then he was with Glenn in Detroit, and he's going to be free agent, this offseason. So I think they still have his ear. He still has their ear. They know he's going to be here. That's the biggest thing. They know he's going to be here. But if the Jets start badly next year with a new quarterback and new players and all this other stuff, then, you know, again, his job will be a major topic.
Al, when you and I had fun with it earlier in the week, Al, and you were out there on Sunday, I guess, why question the effort of the team and then walk it back on Monday if you're Aaron Glenn?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. I had no problem with him, what he said after the game. Look, us as writers, media members, we want them to be honest. And the effort was a problem. What he couldn't say is the talent level was a problem. The Patriots are right now in a different level than the Jets. Obviously, they could be the number one seed. They probably have the NFL MVP this year in Drake May. But it was humiliating the way they carved up the Jets. And I don't think he should have walked it back. And I think he made it worse, but I think it was by design to turn it on to him and his coaching staff when he said they did some things schematically that were challenging for us. Well, you know, he's basically telling everybody we were outcoached. You know, and they were. We didn't need to be told that. We saw it. They were out-coached. They were out-classed. They were out-manned. They were, you know, I know it's not a word. They were out-efforted. I don't think he should have gone back, but, you know, maybe he felt like I shouldn't be killing the players, who are trying at the end of the season, because a lot of the guys who were playing, not necessarily on defense, but some of the guys who were playing on defense and a lot of the guys on offense were not with the team earlier in the year or were practice squad guys. So, you know, this is just the lack of competitive fire is the biggest indictment. But I didn't like that he went back and changed what he said.
Al, we all know the quarterback most important position in all of really professional sports can change everything. Do you think right now as it stands, and we'll see exactly what this quarterback class looks like, we'll see after this weekend where the Jets stand in terms of where their draft choice is, who's in front of them, and potential to go out there and move up. Do you think if they had their druthers, Muji and Glenn, they're bringing in a bridge quarterback, or do you think they'd be all in on bringing in a college quarterback this upcoming NFL draft high in the first round?
Yeah, I think you do both. I think you try to. I thought they should have drafted a quarterback last year at some point, but I think you know they could finish 1, 2, or 3. It's highly unlikely they're going to finish 1. Do you throw a lot at the Raiders with all these picks that the Jets accumulated if Fernando Mendoza is their guy? If they truly believe it, you have to do it. There's that, you know, that's got to be their internal discussions and what they decide. But I think they do need a bridge quarterback because you don't know who's going to be ready to play. And it's also playing here where all eyes, it's tough. Not everybody, we know this, Mark. Not everybody is made for New York. Not everybody's made for the pressures they face. I don't know if Mendoza is. I don't know if Moore is. You know, we don't know, like you said, who's coming out. So I would definitely look at some bridge quarterbacks. And, you know, if you have to trade for one, you trade for one. You have to sign one, you sign one. It didn't work out with Justin Fields. I think he was going to be the bridge quarterback, that low risk, high reward, you know, see how he does, then draft a quarterback. And if he can produce the way Glenn thought he would, then he's got his quarterback in Justin Fields. Just didn't work out. But I think you got to have a good veteran, good couple veterans on staff, I mean, in the quarterback room, because this is a team that needs a lot of help at a lot of positions, but you got to treat this quarterback right. Not what they did with Zach Wilson. You know, they had nobody in that quarterback room when he got here, and he basically got the job, you know, as soon as they took him second overall. And that no competition, nothing like that. You can't make those mistakes again.
Al, if this was not Woody's handpicked guy after going through all that process, right, what we talked about with Glenn before, where he's got the emotional investment in Aaron Glenn, former player, obviously, and Glenn wanted the opportunity, wanted the challenge, wanted the job. Would we be having a different conversation about Glenn's future here in New York?
We might, but again, we're talking over $45 million that he's owed, and anybody who comes in is going to want at least that because of the team that they're taking over. You know, I know people want to say, well, if Tomlin or Harbaugh become available, you know, the Jets should go after. Of course they should. But why would they want to leave stable franchises that win every year to come here when they don't have a quarterback? You know, so I think he has to look if that presents itself. But I don't think that's a realistic option at this point, because there'll be other jobs that might be more appealing, including the one to the other team in the MetLife Stadium, because they have a quarterback right now. But I think the money issue, I think all the stuff we're talking about, there is an emotional tie there. I mean, it was a great story last year, Mark, right? The guy coming home, he played for the Jets. You know, he made that famous line that everybody loved, where the freaking New York Jets were built for this expletive. Well, guess what? Doesn't look like it at this point. And that was probably the highlight of his first season. He made that statement. Everyone loved it. But right now, that was the only thing he's won, that press conference.
No, he did. He won the presser. And I was out there. It was great. And, you know, I think you got to ask the question, Alan. You can remember this better than me. He was asked the question, what's going to define Jet football? He said, you'll see it on the field, right? And we really haven't seen it all that much. If I asked you, you know, what's going to define the Jets under the guidance of Aaron Glenn year two? Like, what is going to be the trademarks? What's going to be the traits, the characteristics? What's he going to lean into? What does that look like year two?
Yeah, well, the stuff he keeps talking about, and he opened up a little more this week talking about, you know, the things that have improved and what he wants to be. They want to be a violent, physical run team. You know, they were at the start of the season. But once Garrett Wilson got hurt, everybody loaded the box because they knew Justin Fields wasn't going to throw the ball much and everything was going to be handed off to Breece Hall. So I think he wants to be a team that, you know, goes back and plays. We don't use this expression anymore, but smash mouth football, right? Run the ball, be violent up front, win in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They haven't done it enough. And you know, they want to be a defense that creates turnovers and limits, long drives. They didn't do that. So those are the things he's got to work on. He's got to get the right players, and it's got to be holding everyone accountable, including himself. And it wasn't until recently where he started saying things like, this is on me, this is on me. But it is on him. There's no doubt about it. It's on him. He put this staff together. There's going to be changes there. The roster, he put part of the roster together, him and Muji, and some of them were the ones they inherited from Saleh. It just has looked nothing like he said it would, but I'm sure that's the way it was in Detroit the first year when they started 0-10-1 and only won three games. And then the next year they started 1-6. And then all of a sudden the Lions went on this run where they finished 9-8, and then they won 12 games the following year. Then they won 15 games last year. that's really what everybody's hanging their head on inside that organization. That's what Woody definitely was hanging his head on, hat on too, that he's been through this, he's seen it change, and he's going to be able to do that for this franchise.
Well, Al, at least they have elite special teams. I got to be honest with you. That's really what I want to hear from the head coach the other day. The special teams has been great. No field goal blocks, all that kind of stuff. It's been great.
Yeah, that again, you're reaching. You know, you're reaching when you have a season like this. But again, that was the first time he started saying, because everything was, we're going to keep it in-house. We're going to keep it in-house. So then he started pointing out things, and he brought up the no field goal blocks. And, of course, you know, that made its way on social media, Twitter, X, whatever we want to call it these days, and it blew up. There's not a lot here to hang your hat on. It was a lost season. So many of them that's been for this organization and this franchise. Maybe next year will be different. I mean, Mark, how many times have you said that in your radio career, TV career? How many times have you said with the Jets, oh, maybe next year will be different. Oh, Rodgers is coming back healthy. Next year will be different. Great. You know?
It all ends up the same. What do you think happens Jack. Sunday?
I mean, it really is.
It really is. Sunday, how do you think it looks? It can't look as bad as it did against New England, especially if it's Trubisky at quarterback for the Bills.
Yeah, I think, but remember, a couple of years ago, he came in for one play against the Jets for Josh Allen, and he threw a 32-yard pass, and that was it. So you never know. I would think the effort would be better. You know, a lot of these guys, this is their last time. I think, obviously, the Bills are not going to play their starters or their main guys for the entire game. So maybe in the second half we see, a less talent disparity than we will perhaps at the start of the game. But, yeah, it's got to be a better performance than the last couple of games. Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. But I think, Quincy Williams said it best, this game I want to see pride. And that's what they should be playing for. I know the fans want them to lose. That's a tough spot. You want to see your team play well, but you want them to lose. You know, that's always that's a tightrope you're walking as a fan. And as an organization, nobody wants to lose, but they know they got to get the best draft pick possible to fix this mess and start rebuilding again. So next year potentially is different.
Al, listen, it can't get worse, can it? Or maybe it can. I mean, maybe it can, but we'll see. Al, you're the best. I know it's been a long year. Safe travels up to Buffalo. Happy New Year to you and your family. Appreciate the time and love your work with Newsday, all right?
Thanks, Mark. Same to you. Happy New Year.
You got it. Al Ianazone covering the Jets for Newsday, talking a little bit about Aaron Glenn. Obviously, a lost season. It's been lost for a long, long time. We look at gangrene. Coming up straight ahead, Nick Costos will join the program, get his thoughts on the Week 18 NFL Sunday slate. Obviously, college football playoffs as well. Semifinals are set. We'll do that next. It's a Friday midday. Mark Melusis with you right here, the Fan in New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nick Costos joins us now. New beginnings for Nick as well on Westwood One Sports, their new radio network. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you?
Oh, what's going on, my friend? Happy New Year to you and all the listeners. You Better You Bet has moved time slots. I'm now solo on Westwood One Sports, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Used to do 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern. So now doing the morning show or one of the morning shows from 9 a.m. to noon. You can find it in all the same places you found You Better You Bet previously, plus Sirius XM Channel 375, more radio stations nationwide, which is awesome, YouTube and Twitch and still in podcast form. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Solo Nick Costos, 9 a.m. to noon. So, yes, I just finished my three-hour radio show about 40 minutes ago. Great to be on with you, my friend.
Well, it's great to be on with you as well. Thanks for joining us, Nick. Now, is there a different approach to the show, or is it similar in terms of the betting angles is kind of the driving force?
Yeah, so I think the line that I'm trying to straddle, I think I'm doing a good job, but look, you're never going to make everybody completely happy. It is a sports talk show where we talk betting. So And you've known me for a long time, and you know true, right? I've been betting on sports, and I don't say this as a brag, just kind of like, and look, I bet responsibly. So, like, I've never had to, like, be in dire financial straits because of losing bets. But I've been betting on sports for 21 years, since my senior year of college in 2004. So my betting career can drink. So I've been doing this for a long time. I would never not talk about betting, at least to put things in context when we're having a sports conversation, right? So when we talk about the college football playoff and the games next week, Indiana, Oregon, and Miami, Ole Miss, of course I'm going to talk about the point spread. Who do I think is going to win the game? By how many points? Which players do I think are going to play well? Knicks Hawks tonight. Is Trae Young going to miss the game? If he does, can Jalen Johnson have a huge game for Atlanta? So there will always be betting angles. So if that's how I would look at it, sports talk with betting is this new version of You Better, You Bet, which I would encourage everybody to check out. I think I straddle the line well, so if you want hardcore sports betting, we give it to you, and if you want just regular sports talk, we give that to you also.
Love it.
I'm biased, but I think we're able to accomplish both.
Love it. Congratulations on the new opportunity, Nick. Well deserved.
Thanks, buddy.
You know I love you. You do a great job. All right, let's talk a little football. Let's look ahead here. Let's talk about the two games on Saturday. Carolina and Tampa, first and foremost. The Bucs are laying 3 at home. Baker and the Bucs, they've lost 7 of their last 8. The total in the game is sitting at 43.5. Obviously, we know, Carolina wins. They're in the playoffs. Tampa wins. They need a little help from the New Orleans Saints against the Atlanta Falcons over to punch their ticket to the playoffs. But what about Carolina and Tampa as the Bucs are a 3-point home favorite?
Yeah, I just, the Bucs have won one time since the Dodgers won the World Series. Feels like a long time ago, right? The Dodgers have won, the Bucks have won one game since October. 1-7 in their last 8, and I think Jets fans that are listening to this right now are probably nodding their heads, watching a Todd Bowles team collapse at the end of the season, where this has really gone off the rails for Tampa. And Moose, I said it all season long. I never felt like the Bucs were that great. I never felt like Baker was going to win MVP. Like, the hot start to the season felt like a mirage because they were winning these games all like pulling out of their derriere at the ends of these games. I just didn't think it was sustainable. So I'm not surprised that Tampa stopped winning games in that fashion. I am surprised by how much they've let go of the rope here. Where when they lost to the Falcons a couple Thursdays ago, and Todd Bowles afterwards gets up there, and Jets fans know this, he was never one to get up there and crush his own team. That was never really his MO. And he crushed the effort of his team. And I was thinking, wow, this is pretty noteworthy for Todd Bowles to do this. And they haven't won since then. And now all the players are starting to say it also. Basically, different variations of we need to look ourselves in the eye and it has to be about pride. And I guess you can try and catch a falling knife, right, to try and bet Tampa in this game. I don't want to do that. Not that the Bucs can't win. They're favored in the game. I would never bet them Carolina or nothing for me. And I do think, Moose, with Chris Olave being ruled out for Sunday for the Saints, he has a blood clot in his lung, expected to make a full recovery and play next season. I think the Falcons are just going to take care of business anyway, beat New Orleans, and the Panthers will be the NFC South champion.
All right, how about the Seahawks and 49ers, late games of the back end of the doubleheader on Saturday night, 8 o'clock kick out in the Bay Area. 49ers are getting 1.5 as a home dog, 47.5 is the total, Nick.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks in the game, and we've seen the betting market flip favorites here. San Francisco Moose opened a 1.5-point home favorite. Now Seattle, a 1.5-point favorite with everything on the line, home field in the NFC West Championship. There's still some injury stuff that needs to be figured out heading into tomorrow. Trent Williams, the future first ballot Hall of Fame left tackle for San Francisco, feels like he's on the wrong side of questionable. I guess he could play. Feels a little unlikely to me. George Kittle is questionable, although he says he'll play. Ricky Pearsall questionable as well. And for me, it really comes down to I don't trust the San Francisco 49ers defense. And it's not an anti-Robert Saleh take. It's, they've lost a bunch of their best players on defense due to injury. Nick Bosa and Fred Warner are not playing anymore. This defense got lit up by the Chicago Bears last weekend. And I think whenever they have to play an offense with a pulse, they're going to give up a lot of points. Now, their offense has been great, so they outscored Chicago on Sunday night 42-38, and they were able to win the game. I think that Sam Darnold can play well enough here to put some points on the board here, and I think JSN's going to have a huge game. And then it's just, can San Francisco do what it does on offense against a way tougher defense in the Seattle Seahawks? I say no. Give me the Seahawks to win tomorrow night in San Francisco and claim home field advantage in the NFC playoffs.
All right, let's get to the Sunday Night Affair, Nick. We're being joined by Nick Costos, obviously. Check him out, Westwood One Sports, 9 to noon. New show that got going earlier this week, Nick. Baltimore Ravens, they're laying 3.5 on the road in Pittsburgh. Lamar's going to be back at quarterback for the Ravens. Total in the game is sitting at 41.5.
I don't know what the Steelers' path to scoring points in this game is, Moose. And it's really unfortunate. Now, DK Metcalf can't do what he did. And for people that aren't aware of it, he basically like took a swing at a fan during the Steelers-Lions game in Detroit a couple weeks ago. The fan is a total loser. Like, I held a press conference basically to slander Metcalf more. I'm not defending Metcalf. Like, you can't do that. This fan's also a huge loser. So Metcalf is suspended for the final two games of the season. And it's not a coincidence last week that the Steelers could get nothing going on offense and lost on the road in Cleveland, pushing their season to the brink here, where they're a 3.5-point home underdog against Baltimore. So if I'm the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson said he's going to play, he practiced in full all week. Like, Lamar's going to play on Sunday night. I don't know how the game plan isn't. Here's 30 carries for Derrick Henry, who went for 216 last Saturday in Lambeau against the Packers. Have Lamar keep the ball out of harm's way. Punt the ball to Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to be able to do anything on offense. They don't have a wide receiver that can win in contested situations. And you know what Rodgers wants to do. Jets fans saw it. He wants to get rid of the ball quickly. He wants to throw go balls in contested areas. They don't have a receiver that can win in contested areas. I don't know how they're scoring in the game. I like the Ravens to win the game, Moose, on Sunday night and win the AFC North.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. You know, I'm curious, how do you handle, Nick, like, what's your best advice? Week 18, such a minefield. You know, a lot of the spots are, you know, kind of locked in. Then you have teams battling for the number one overall pick, or, you know, what's the intentions? What's the motivation? Like, overall guidance, like, how do you handle a week 18 in the NFL with a lot of it having already been decided?
Well, I think, you know, largely when it comes to betting questions, Moose, and you and I have talked about this both like on and off air in the past.
Yep.
I think it's important to kind of, like, there is no catch-all where every game in Week 18 needs to be looked at a certain way. I think that they can all be viewed through, like, their own unique prism. And I do think, you know, it's easy to say, like, you know, you're a degenerate if you bet the NFL preseason or if you bet Week 18. Well, like, actually, no. There's actually, like, potential huge opportunity here. I'll give you a bet I like, for example, coming up in Week 18. Now, it's okay. A two-team teaser. So, like, you have to pay it, like, a little bit extra to make the bet. But I do think it's going to win. Let's go with the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 7.5-point home favorites against the Cleveland Browns. Like, I think Cincinnati's going to win by double digits, so I like the Bengals anyway. The Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, much like Stella, got their groove back the last couple weeks. The Browns did win last week, like, great, and Myles Garrett will probably break the sack record in this game. Like, Cleveland's a dead team walking right now. Like, I don't think Cleveland's going to be able to stop Cincinnati's offense here. I think the Bengals will win this game by double digits, but if you want to tease Cincy, right, Cincy -1.5, and pair them with the Minnesota Vikings. And look, I think the Vikings are going to win by 10 against Green Bay. Green Bay is the 7th seed. Like, they cannot improve their seed. They are the 7th seed. They are in the playoffs. They are sitting. Jordan Love is not playing in the game. Malik Willis is not playing. They are starting Clayton Name That Tune, their third-string quarterback. Like, they're not playing anyone of any consequence because there's nothing to gain from winning or losing. It's like they are going to lose to Minnesota. Like, I think you can actually lay the Vikings and feel decent about it, just that the number was shorter earlier in the week. Now it's a little longer, obviously, -8. But if you take the Vikings down to -2, like, I feel really good about that. So a Minnesota-Cincinnati two-team teaser will be in my account certainly coming up this weekend.
All right, let me get your thoughts, Nick, on the two locals. Giants close out their season at home, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. They're getting 3.5 total, and the game is sitting at 49.5.
I'm so disgusted with this team. I actually have, like, I have zero interest in this game. I hope they lose. I hope they get the help they need to get the first overall pick. I don't think it's going to happen. They lost by winning on Sunday. I'm so incensed and infuriated with this team that they do this every single year, where they're in contention for a better draft pick. They win a meaningless game, and some Giants fans celebrate it like it's some grand victory. Like the Tommy DeVito game against Green Bay a couple years ago on Monday night, where, oh, how much fun is this? We get to talk about chicken cutlets and do a fun Italian hand gesture. You know what would be more fun? If Drake May were the quarterback of the Giants right now, or Jaden Daniels were the Giants, wouldn't that be more fun? So you had an opportunity to get the first overall pick. And by the way, did anyone watch last night Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss's quarterback? What happens if
good.
He looked awesome, right? He's unbelievable. Best player on the field. Did anyone watch Arch Manning a couple nights ago for Texas? Like, what happens if, and I'm not saying it will happen, and Arch said he's coming back, then he destroyed Michigan in the bowl game. Like, what happens if Arch and or Trinidad Chambliss come out this year? All of a sudden, the quarterback market's got way more juice, and the Giants could have had the number one overall pick and traded it to whatever team wanted to go get their guy. But instead, that's not what happens, and instead, they're probably going to pick second in the draft, which you might say, well, a team could still trade up to get a quarterback, but maybe they all want Fernando Mendoza, and the Raiders just take Mendoza there. So I'm infuriated, Moose, by this football team. I have zero interest in the game. Honestly, I hope the Cowboys win.
All right, how about Jets and Bills up in Orchard Park? Final game at Highmark. Bills are laying 7.5. Allen might not play. He's been dealing with that foot issue, missed the last two practices.
Yeah, I would expect Josh Allen to not play in this game. Like, the Bills can, I guess, cosmetically improve their seeding. So I think what's most likely for Buffalo is that the Bills will be the sixth seed and go on the road to Jacksonville wild card weekend. I think that's probably the likely matchup. I would like Buffalo in that game, laying a small... The Buffalo would be a small road favorite if we get there. Just until, like, we know what the Bills are doing here, it's tough to, you know, advocate something on this game. What I will say, without being a hater, just, like, calling it like it is, like, Brady Cook is, to put it kindly, is not very good. And I think the Bills' backups would be more than capable of beating the Jets here. So it would be Bills or nothing for me. But I do think, like, once the Bills rule out a bunch of their players, if that happens, I expect it to happen, that would be an opportunity to bet the Bills. I think that time is not right now. Also, something to consider, there may be, like, obviously, it's early January in Western New York. There may be inclement weather. I'll talk about it all more, Moose, on the show on Sunday morning on The Fan.
And Nick, last one for you. Anything that we haven't hit upon here in terms of side total prop that you like? I know we're going to get more and more information as the kind of weekend develops here, but anything that you've seen so far outside of the Bengals and Vikings teaser?
Yeah, so I like the Rams as a teaser leg also. I have all my projected point spreads for wild card weekend with all the matchups that I think are going to happen. If Seattle wins tomorrow night, the Rams can get out of the sixth seed and up to the five, which matters because if you're the Rams, you would much rather go to Carolina than go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. I think the Rams will thump the Cardinals, but if you don't want to lay 7.5, you could tease the Rams down to 1.5. I like that. So I do like the Rams against the Cardinals. The Eagles are sitting all their starters, or most of them. Jalen Hurts will not play. Tanner McKee, the backup quarterback who Giants fans will remember, tore them up in Week 18 last year. Tanner McKee will start, but the Commanders are starting third stringer Josh Johnson. I actually think, like, Tanner McKee is really good. I actually like the Eagles. I want to see where that betting market goes before I bet the game. And the last one, and I haven't bet this yet, I think I will. The Kansas City Chiefs, like the husk of the Chiefs, are 5.5-point road favorites at the Raiders. And I get it, like the Raiders are tanking, and they lost to the Giants last week. The Chiefs are not in a position at this point, with all the players that are out, to be laying 5.5 points against anybody. I actually think, I might bet the Raiders on Sunday to cover the spread. I'll talk about
there
that
you
more
go.
Up on Sunday.
I love it. Did you ring New Year's Even style, the new year, Nick? Or did you stay up for the ball drop with Seacrest?
I actually, and I loved it because, listen, I was a little twisted. And I had this moment where I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, is that, there's no way Russell Wilson's on my TV right now. This can't be true. That like I have to start 2026 watching a bad New York football. Like, I try to get away from the New York football Giants here. So yeah, like hung out with some friends. Like they have kids. My daughter's almost 20 months old. So the kids hung out. They went to bed. Then the adults hang out. It was a very nice night.
Well, good. Happy New Year, Nick, to you and your family. Appreciate the time this afternoon, and we'll be listening on Westwood One Sports. And congratulations on the new opportunity, brother.
Thank you very much, my friend. Happy New Year to you and your family and your kids as well. And to all the listeners, wishing all of you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. A happy New Year. I'll talk to everybody here on The Fan Sunday morning, 8 a.m.
There you have it, the great Nick Costos. He'll be back with you Sunday morning at 8 a.m. As he just mentioned, we're going to flip the script, talk a little bit of baseball. John Heyman's going to join the program. Baseball insider for the New York Post. He'll join us next. It's a Friday midday. Mark Melusis with you right here, The Fan in New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.